You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and again, I'm your host. Welcome, dear kinswomen and kinsmen. Welcome to the nightmare that we call the world. It's just remarkable how pathetic it really is. I wanted to update you on Michael, but I haven't heard anything in a few days. But last time I found out that the tumor on his head was the size of a golf ball. And I was asked to keep praying for him, which I was and will remain praying for him. And I hope you will all do the same. I'll let you know just as soon as I can what the story is. I wanted to talk to you about something before we get into the subject matter, and that's, I have people that send me things about COVID-19. And you see, I know that this is a big matter to the world, of course. But you see, the world is concentrating on this, and they want us to concentrate on this. In the meantime, they're trying to put through gun laws and all kinds of things that are going on in the background. And I can't let the world or the devil or even Christian brothers and sisters take me off the course that I'm on. You see, if the world ends, then we're done with the course, right? But see, what this world wants you to do is they want us to focus on this COVID-19 thing and just keep focusing on it and focusing on it and focus. I've touched on it here and there, and I understand that it's fake. I don't need to be told another 50,000 times by another 50,000 doctors that have come out and said it's fake. It's a fake, you know what I mean? But it has very real effects for being fake, doesn't it? But, you know, it's not that I don't want people to send me things. I appreciate it. But if you're wondering, I'm only addressing this, if you're wondering why I don't bother with covering the COVID-19 thing that's going on, is because I'm not going to go off my course. I'm not going to let them manipulate me into dropping everything I'm doing and concentrating on something like this. If the world is concentrating on it, that's enough people concentrating on it already. I don't buy it. I don't live by it. And I'm not in fear of it. I told you one simple thing that's important to remember. They have plans for us, and the Father has plans for us. And so here's a new conspiracy for everybody to focus on, to give all of their attention to for the next. There'll be people like the 9/11 thing that will never stop talking about 9/11. Now listen, it's not like I want to stop talking about 9/11, but there are people like Victor Thorne back then, and you know, he's been talking about it for 20 years. I mean, yeah, we get it. It's time to move on. There's a lot bigger conspiracies than 9/11. So I think that the world is loving the attention that people are giving this thing, and I will say one thing about that then while I'm on the subject, and that is the Jews keep coming out and they want us all to be locked down. Now, again, when the Jew wants something for the world, do you think the Jew wants it because it would be good for us? Or do you think the Jew wants it because it would be bad for us? See, I don't hear anybody talking about those things. All I hear about them is talking about a vaccine and all this. What about the Jew wants us to be locked down? Why? Well, I told you one thing. I believe it was on News Bites that Jeff Bezos just made $24 billion because of all of this, and he'll make more. So he divorced from his wife and lost $38 billion. He's already made 24 of that $38 billion back. Can you see why the Jews may want to continue the lockdown? And the Jews are anti-freedom anyway. Freedom, I told you, has the word Edom in it. This freedom is a lie. They don't want freedom of speech. They don't want freedom of anything. But for themselves, they want to, you know, they're above the law, but they want to make laws to take away our freedoms, all of our freedoms. They are tyrannical Jews that want to run the world. They want to, I talked about this on yesterday's Rabbit Hole radio show. They want to control the truth, what the truth is. See, they can't control the real truth, which is the farthest truth and so on and so forth, but they can control what people think truth is, and they want to do that. They don't want to allow anybody to think for themselves. They don't want anybody to determine what the truth is or any of that stuff. They want to be the sole controller over what the truth is, even though it's not the truth when they tell it. See, if they say it's the truth, then it is, right? Winston. Yes, sometimes 2 and 2 is 4, but other times it's 5. And maybe other times it could be 3. It's whatever we say it is at the time. And so, how long will you concentrate on this? Maybe people that are home obeying this nonsense should be praying against it and praying against those who have put this stuff forward. Maybe we should spend a lot more time with the Father. Remember my initial thing about this, praying that the Father would bring a disease that would kill all the beasts of the field, including this most subtle beast of the field, but it wouldn't touch his people, our people, the Israelite people, unless they are traitors or mixed. Now, that seems to have come true to a point, right? But I told you the reason why I prayed this prayer was so that because our people needed a respite. Well, we've got our respite. What are you complaining about? You were taken off this hamster wheel, and now you have time to study the Bible. It's time to find out what the truth is. Time to pray. Time to spend time with the Father. No, you don't need any declared religious holiday to do that. You can do that any day, every day. You know, it's a strange thing that I asked for a respite for our people. They're getting a respite. Ride with the waves. I mean, I'm not telling you to obey everything if they, you know, I do believe that we should not obey lockdowns. I don't do it. I just go shopping when I want shopping. I go where I want when I want. And that's it. Period. If everybody does that, what are they going to lock up the whole world? You see what I'm saying? No, you hear what I'm saying. It's remarkable what's going on. And one of the sisters sent me something about this COVID-19 thing. A sister sent it to me. And it was about this Indian doctor. And the next thing you know, you got EFR talking about it. I see this stuff. See, they're all focused on that stuff. I don't care about that stuff. I care about the Father's kingdom. I don't care what the world's doing. Let the storm rage. And if I die with it, I die with it. But I'm just not going to concentrate on it. I'm going to do what I'm doing, what I believe the Father has set me to do, and I will do that, you see? No, I will not go to the left or go to the right. We'll stay right on course. I'm not riding Balaam's donkey. You see? Who was telling him at the time that he was crooked and that his path was not straight. And the donkey would move to the left and then to the right and so on and so forth. You know what I'm doing? I'm accomplishing things just like I always do. Today's no different than last year's today. And that's it. I'm not focusing on this thing. It adds up to 666. Sure, I understand. I told you what the mark of the beast was. And the mark of the beast is, as far as I'm concerned, the hexagram that's on the flag. It's Solomon's ring, his signet ring, his seal that's on the Jew flag. It has nothing to do with David. It has 666 encoded in it. Each pyramid is a flame, in case you don't know it. The pyramid represents the flame. It represents the male generative principle, you know, the lingam. There's six of them. And they're jutting out towards all directions from six points in the six-sided figure in the center of it. The sexagram, I believe it's called. There's six lines that make up this thing. You understand? 666 is in it. I never get fanatical with all this stuff, you know. It's just the same old, same old. Yeah, we've never seen anything, them try to pull a lockdown like this or anything like that, but it's the same old, same old. The same old song and dance. Nothing's new. Just remember what I said. Edom, the word Edom, is within the word freedom. Free dominion. Free for who? Certainly not for you or I. Do you find that interesting? And so we walk the walk. We talk the talk, and we shun the evil, and we show that it's evil. How long will you or we keep being moved about by every devil's stumbling block? As Balaam cast the stumbling block before the children of Israel by telling Balak that if he got us to race mix, then the Father would judge us. How many of the devil's stumbling blocks will you trip over? Or will we? Okay, it's it's really, when I say you, I'm included with you. But I suppose I could just say we. But then you might misconstrue and think I was saying yes in French.
Yes.
Well, oui, oui. Well, how long before we see the Father's light and understand the devil's darkness and we no longer stumble over the stumbling blocks that are set before us? You see, because that's what the law is. Right? The law is light so that we don't stumble over the stumbling blocks. And the commandment is a lamp which lights the way, the truth, and the life. You see? So, it is Christ that brought us back into the good graces of the Father. In other words, he made us right because we couldn't obey the whole law. Nevertheless, that doesn't mean we stop obeying the law. We just obey the law to the best of our ability. And Christ takes up the slack. You see? In other words, the reason why we can't obey the law to the T, which I don't believe anybody can except Christ himself, Jesus Christ, who was the Father, Yahweh, in the flesh. See, that's the reason why we can't obey the law. Because if we could obey the law, we'd be as good as him. But you see, the reason we don't and can't really obey the law to the T is because we're not as good as him. We're not as righteous as he is. That's why we look up to him. That's why he's our God. Otherwise, we'd be God, equal with him. Correct? We will never be equal with him in that sense, in any sense of his greatness. And so when we see that he could even be hungry for 40 days and thirsty for 40 days and then be tempted of the devil and still come out in complete victory. How many of us could have done that? Well, that's what it's all about. So when people say, well, if you follow the law, You can't be saved by because you're a good boy and you followed the law. But that's not really true, you see. Because that's the way I would put it to you, is that Yeshua took up the slack. What we couldn't do, he did for us. Now that's not an excuse to say, well, since I can't obey the whole law, well, I'll do a little. No, that's not going to work either, because he judges us by our works. So this is not meant to be confusing. This is meant to be very simple. He who obeys me, he who loves me and obeys my commandments. Like at the, let me go to this, because I was looking at this earlier today, and maybe you'd like to see this with me. Okay, let me just whip over to Revelation chapter 17. It's Revelation chapter 12, but it was verse 17. It says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman. The dragon was angry with Israel, us, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony. The witness. I heard something today. Somebody said, which keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Tricky little devils running about the garden. Well, while we're here, let's look. Let's look in this chapter because I was looking through the chapter. And it says in verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night before Yahweh, our God. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, remember why the dragon was cast to the earth. The devil was cast to the earth because when Adam was made by Yahweh, he told the angels to worship Adam because Adam was the son of God. It still is. And the devil, when he was told by Michael to worship Adam because he was the son of God, the devil said, no. I'm an older being than him. He should worship me. And he caused the rebellion. See, rebellion is when you disobey. Rebellion is when you do not do what you're supposed to do. When you do not, if the Father gives us a commandment and we disobey it, that's rebellion. And so the devil was cast down. And who did the casting down? Well, Michael the archangel. There was a war in heaven. And the dragon drew a third of the stars. Remember? So look what it says here as a testimony to what I just told you. Verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Well, understand that in a sense, what this is saying, the dragon saw he was cast to the earth. He persecuted the woman which was brought. Well, this is what was talked about in the book of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve asked the devil, why do you persecute us? Why do you hate us? And what it comes down to is because he would not worship Adam, he lost his first estate. He lost his home. And so just as he got kicked out of his home, he saw to it that we got kicked out of our home in the garden. You see, as a revenge. And ever since he's been cast down to the earth, even though this talks about, the woman who brought forth the man-child, right? That doesn't mean that this has to do with just the time after Christ. You see, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. You see, the woman being Israel, being Adam, even though we weren't called Israel back in the garden, we would be called Israel in the future, and the Father would know these things, right? And in the same thing, of course, we knew in the garden that there was going to come a Savior to redeem us. That's the man-child, the Son of Man. See? Very interesting, isn't it? Very interesting that the devil and his children, ever since he's been kicked out of his first estate, he has been very, very angry and super hateful. As you saw in yesterday's Rabbit Hole radio show, these people, they're driven, and I mean driven crazy by hate. They want to enslave the world so badly that they'll give their every living moment for it. They'll sacrifice their joy, their lives, everything to do to enslave other peoples. And I say peoples because it's not just one people. I can't believe the magnitude of hatred that is coming out of the energies of these demonic people that want to enslave the world. They'll do anything to do it. They'll sell their soul. They'll sell your soul. They'll sell anything. They'll do anything for this devil and their children and his children. And so the answer why the dragon persecuted us ever since we came, I mean, he even, after we were kicked out of the garden, Adam had had this idea to do penance to the Father and that maybe he would let us back in the garden. And he told Eve to do penance too. And she was standing on a rock in the middle of the water, and so was Adam in another place. And the devil came and tricked her yet again. But Adam knew it was the devil. And so it's very interesting. This is why these people are, I mean, you got to realize that one of the attributes of the devil's offspring is they are unmerciful and they're full of revenge. They waited 102 years before they could get revenge on the Tsar and his family. I mean, it's bizarre. The whole thing is just bizarre. To vengeance, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Father, right? No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man behind blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. Remember that song? My love is vengeance that's never free. And my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours only lonely. Remember that? See, my love is vengeance that's never free. That's the Jew. That's the offspring. I do believe Pete Townsend. I mean, you look at the honker on the feller and the professions he's been in and what he's in now. He's writing for, you know, he looks, if you just put the hat on him with the curls, this guy is a Jew. There's no doubt in my mind about it. Now, I like Pete Townsend. I love The Who. That was my favorite group. But unfortunately, that's the way it is. See, the Jews, the offspring of the devil is full of vengeance. He wanted revenge, and he got it right away. And every time the father would allow, like he did with Job, the minute, the second that he said, go ahead, you can do what you want. I've taken the hedge of protection off of him. That devil was on it. Seek, you know, going to and fro on the earth, seeking to whom he may devour. This is what his children do. They want vengeance. They want revenge. And this explains what I talked about yesterday, how every living minute these people think about how they can do us in every way and form and fashion. There is no mercy in the Jew. See, that's why the foolish Holocaust story makes no sense, because if that was done by the Jews, that would make sense. Because they would Holocaust and did Holocaust the Germans after the war, and they Holocausted the Russians, and they Holocausted the Katyn Forest Polish people, and they've the Armenians, etc., etc. And they want to do it here now. And they're Holocausting us every day on the abortion table. In the sense of a Holocaust is really a burning. But in the idea of killing, murdering. Their father was a murderer from the beginning and a liar. Cain. You see, that's how you know they're not God's chosen people. If they were the Father's chosen people, what are the attributes of the Father? Well, they want you to think the attributes of the Father are to kill, murder, sacrifice, like Isaac, right? They want you to think the Father wants you to go out and kill all the children and women and the animals, right? But you don't understand. You're not understanding properly. There was a lot of demonic possession. When the father said to go kill women, children, and the animals, there were reasons for it. So those are the bad. What about all? Those are the things that the world likes to think of the father as, that he is vengeful and all that kind of stuff, right? But what about all of his good attributes, that, like mercy? Who are the merciful people on the earth? Let me ask you that question. Who would you say, are the blacks a merciful people? Don't laugh. I'm asking a serious question. Are the Jews a merciful people? No. How about the mestizos? How about the Muslims? No, the merciful people are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic Germanic peoples. That's who's merciful, and that's who has the attributes of their father. Our Father. Yahweh in heaven, the Most High. The King of Saints. You see? It's very simple to know that the Jew is not God's chosen people. The Jew is the antithesis of the Anglo-Saxon, as the devil is like the antithesis of the Father. Except the devil is only an angel that was cast down. He's not God or a god. So he's not equi-opposite of the Father. Just like the beast of the field aren't equi-opposite of us. They're not even men. They're the most subtle beast of the field. They're not men. And they've mixed with Everybody, they're hybrids. They're inferior beings. They're abominations because they're hybrids. And the world loves hybrids, don't they? And the world loves the devil, don't they? And they hate Whitey, and they hate the Father in heaven, don't they? But they love that Jew. They love those Jews, those hybrids. They mix with every race. They're race mixed. They're not a race of people. They're not white. Whomever they mix with, they look like. They're disgusting, ugly inside and out, full of deceit and lies and murders, full of corruption ad nauseum. The Jew is worthless. It's only worth something to the devil and his plans. The Jew is an absolute worthless entity that will have no place in the kingdom because of its worthlessness, because it's an abomination, because the Heavenly Father had not planted it. And every plant not planted by my Heavenly Father shall be plucked up. You know what that means. It shall not allow to be grown. It shall be destroyed, bundled up, and burned. For the children of the flame return to the flame. And the children of the water will return to the water, to the Father, to the water of life. See, the children of the flame, they don't like water because water will kill them. Remember the witch on The Wizard of Oz? Well, why do you think water, a bucket of water, harmed her? Because she's a child of the flame, that's why. You saw her big hook nose. You saw that she was green like her father in the sense of that's his favorite color. See, it's the reason water harmed her is because she is of the fire. She belongs in the fire that burns forever and ever and ever. In other words, she doesn't belong with us. She never did belong with us and never will. So that was a long... You know, I'm just speaking off the top of my head, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not reading anything, except if I'm reading you a scripture, which I'm going to do right here again. So back to that again. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. See, he was angry. He disobeyed. He rebelled. He did not worship Adam as he was told to by Michael the Archangel, whom was told that they would all worship Adam, the Son of God, by the Father. And so what had happened was that's where the war happened in heaven, and the devil was cast down and drew a third of the stars from heaven, meaning angels. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Listen, this is what I always talk about. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. You see, today, to be carried away of the flood. You see, when these people are coming into our countries, this flood of immigrants, and it is called that, they come in and they kill, steal, and destroy, like the devil and his children. Many of them are mixed and hybrids. Most of them are hybrids and mixed. Because they mixed Ishmael right out. See, Ishmael was carried away with the flood. You understand? Of the Jews. You understand what I mean by that? You see, if you start race mixing, you would be carried away with the flood, of the flood. Or if you were killed or raped or this away, you'd be carried away of the flood. So again, it says, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Water is known as peoples in the Bible. So out of his mouth, this water, this flood of immigrants, as a flood after the woman. Are they after us? Yes, they are. They're not flooding into Africa. They're not flooding into Indonesia. They're not flooding into India. They're not flooding into China with all those cities that are brand new and nobody lives in them. They're not flood. They're flooding into the Israelite nations, the nations of the woman, the heavenly kingdom on earth. And they're surrounding us. So the earth helped the woman. It says in 16, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. You see, that's what I believe is going to happen. And this is what I prayed about, that this would come on these people and that the earth would swallow them. In other words, hell will be significantly increased, because hell, the gates of hell or hell is insatiable, just as the fire, hell will be thrown into the lake of fire, which is also insatiable. And so the earth could help the woman by having a disease like this and causing all these to be swallowed by the earth, in other words, put in their graves. That's the hope, and I hope it does happen. You see, mentioning the COVID nonsense again, I've prayed that since this is a hoax, that it will become real. I prayed it would be real in the first place. These liars in this world full of liars and lies can't help but to lie. They just can't. Everything with them is a hoax. Everything's a scam. There is no truth to them except whatever they manufacture and call truth. And so therefore, since they cried wolf, now it's time to pay the wolf. And I hope it will happen. And I hope that the earth will swallow, that the earth will open her mouth and swallow up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Before we go to break, let's look up testimony. Just so you'll know, I'm not full of false testimony. Testimony, a solemn declaration, usually made orally. Yeah, they just popped up something on me. These sites are incredible. A solemn declaration, usually made orally by a witness under an oath in response to interrogation by a lawyer or authorized public official. Of course, this is a newer definition, as you know. firsthand authentication of a fact, an outward sign, an open acknowledgement, a public profession of religious experience. The tablets inscribed with the Mosaic law are a testimony. The ark containing the tablets are a testimony, it says. A divine decree attested in the scriptures. No, that's not faith. And the synonyms are attestation, confirmation, corroboration, documentation, evidence, proof. See, faith is not evidence, you see. Evidence, proof, substantiation, testament means testimony. Testimonial means testimony. Validation, voucher, or witness. So we've corrected that. And so we will not hear such foolishness again. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's amazing. I didn't know I would speak this long, but that's the way it is. Yes, that's the way it is. And so I guess we'll play a song from my Turning Pages album. Welcome back to the Saxon's Creed Radio Show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com, your source for the truth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, amazing. We'll go into our subject matter here, which is Be Wise as Serpents again. And we're on page 328, if you'd like to turn there with me. It says the bias to be modern and new is so great it clouds our evaluations. It is this author's opinion that some of the progressive types of people who were excited by cars are now the type of progressives that are telling us how bad car pollution is. Yeah. And that's probably the way it will be with 5G. They're so excited by this. And what he says here is, like the headlong rush to use cars, the headlong rush to use computers was done without counting the cost. And that is the way it will be with 5G, obviously. They don't want to count the cost. They don't want to say, well, what's going to happen with this technology? It's not tried and true tested. MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology discovered in their study of 20 Fortune 500 companies that productivity had gone down in all of these top 20 companies with the introduction and use of computers. Did you hear that? Productivity had gone down in all of these top 20 companies with the introduction and use of computers. Sophisticated technology added nothing to overall productivity. USA Today, November 16, 1983, in an article, High Tech Can't Deliver on Jobs, says, despite the siren appeal of high-tech industries, most new jobs in the USA economy will be created in old-fashioned service and manufacturing fields. That's what they're trying to destroy right now, is the service economy. The people that, because we, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, that they took all the manufacturing jobs out of America, or most of them, so we adapted, we, the Anglo-Saxon people, adapted and created service-type businesses. And what they don't like it. They thought we'd go under when they took the manufacturing away. And they want to make this a welfare zone. I told you that already. That in the 10, there's 10 zones in this so-called New World Order. And this zone is meant to be, the North American hemisphere is meant to be a welfare state zone. So taking the manufacturing out of here was to destroy us. But we adapted because we're creative and we're a creative people. And other people that saw what we did adapted with us. But they don't like that. So they have to try to destroy it again. So is that why the Jews want to keep the lockdown going on? Because the longer the lockdown happens, the more businesses or service-type businesses, which we have in America, that are our businesses, that they'll go under for good, and then the Jews can just come out with more conglomerates and take all that business away? No, the Jew wouldn't do that, would they? No. Not God's chosen people. That's right, they're not God's chosen people. Okay, so great is our bias towards change that our textbooks and media misportray history. For instance, history books and movies report about the German panzer divisions, but we seldom hear that most of Germany's World War II army units relied on horses for transport. These horses were also valuable as a prime food source for the encircled German Sixth Army at Stalingrad. The use of horses doesn't fit our American image of what a modern, quote-unquote, army should be using. Well, let me speak on that. The Constitution, or the Father's laws, or the Father's ways, or, you know, the old ways that are tried and true and tested, well, they need to be modernized according to the devil and his children and the world. We need a new deal like we got with Roosevelt. And that turned out to be good, didn't it? Turned out to be real good for us, wasn't it? That new deal. And then we had Obama's change. That was good too, wasn't it? You know, I saw the movie Nemesis, Star Trek Nemesis. I've had the DVD for years and years. I still haven't got to it. I finally did. It's really not that deep, but I made notes and I will share them with you soon. But one of the things that it talked about Data, I remember, speaking of the Jew who plays Data there, Spiner, Data wasn't afraid of change. You get it? You'll know what I'm talking about when I, because he knew it could better you, change, you know. If you're afraid of change, then you're locked into the old ways and you're like the Klingons trying to cling on to what's tried, true, and tested. But Data wasn't afraid of change. He knew it would help him to be a better, and he used the word man for Data when Data is an hybrid. He's a robot, of course, but he's part something else, too. Because he called himself a trans something. Transgender, that's what he called himself in this movie. Very interesting. So, it says this American cultural bias towards anything new. Remember I told you that? That the world has trained us to always want something new? Something new. I mean, you don't want to listen to me anymore. You need to find somebody new. I mean, think of all you'll be missing if you don't hear what the new Jew from the Truth Movement is going to tell you. And he can dazzle you with video. I can make videos too, but what's wrong with using your own mind? We don't need to worship any images, do we? But we're trained. We always want something new. You've got to have something new all the time. You need a new, different kind of car, or maybe you're tired of that woman. You need a new woman. And then when you're tired of her, you'll need another new woman. And then when you're tired of her, you'll need another new woman. And maybe the world can even convince you into going into something new. God forbid. So, this American cultural bias toward anything new makes it easier for those intent on introducing new ideas into the Christian churches to do so without their proper evaluation. When these ideas wash out, we seldom evaluate what was wrong. Or it should probably say what went wrong. The failure of many Christian Masons, this book uses the term Christian loosely. As stated before, the term is used as it is commonly used for anyone or anything that even masquerades under the label. To see their children maintain any interest in Christianity should be a warning. This has been observed by this author and others in the States. Chick Publications even has a tract, yes, addressing this. For instance, one of the parents of a Mason family, asked this author, "I just can't understand why my kids are into drugs and aren't interested in going to church at all." A Mason says this. Unbelievable. What are the costs to the Christian churches of the various pseudo-scriptural ideas that Masons are introducing into the churches? Yeah, what are those costs? What are these? Unquestioned Christian support for Israel. That Israel will rebuild the temple and reintroduce the temple sacrifices. Well, there is no prophecy to rebuild the temple. Now, if I'm wrong, could somebody please correct me? But I've already asked that before, and nobody has corrected me. Because there is no third temple. This is a Jewish idea. And what really emphasizes that it's a Jewish idea is they want to reintroduce the temple sacrifices. This is what happened in Judea. This is why those sacrifices weren't working. Our disobedience was rife. And so the sacrifices didn't cut the mustard. So the Father booted us out because we were disobedient. That the Jewish rites or blood sacrifices will be restored. That Christians should not worry about the one world power, that they will be secretly ruptured. I changed it from raptured to ruptured. Yeah, that's for sure. They will secretly be raptured. But aren't these biblical ideas? Before examining if they are biblical, let us note which denomination has been very instrumental in pushing these ideas. The Southern Baptists. The Southern Baptist leadership, which was Masonic, has promoted Masonry to the rank and file. During the 1920s, the Southern Baptists joined the Masons by the millions. I hope you're listening. This had a Christianizing effect, but it also gave good cover for the dyed-in-wool members of the satanic cults, who used their Baptist membership as a cover. As an example of Baptist doctrine, the Encyclopedia of Southern Baptists, Volume 4, states, "The millennial kingdom will be predominantly Jewish, with headquarters in Palestine and temple worship in Jerusalem." Jerusalem, not Jerusalem. Although this author doesn't want to take the space at this point to show it, the idea that the temple blood sacrifices will be restored is completely contrary to the work of Christ. Of course, you know that, right? And is actually part of the plan. The satanic plan to carry out blood sacrifices in the open. Well, they're doing that child ritual murder sacrifice, which is known as abortion. Right? Remember Alice Bailey said that the masonry would be brought through the church, the Masons, and education? An example of this plan. Before examining these ideas, let us look at one good example of a leading Baptist Mason who was very useful in spreading these ideas from the pulpit and radio. His name is Rufus McKinley Doddrill. People in Indianapolis will remember him for several things. Some remember there was a bad spirit in his large Broadway church. A bad spirit. After his death, the large Broadway church practically vanished. This is where the importance of the long-range consequences of our actions can be seen. Others will remember how he spoke over the radio for 37 years, much of it on prophecy. Others will remember how most of the Baptist churches in that area were spin-offs from Doddrill's Broadway Baptist Church. Doddrill wrote about the secret rapture in his book, Keep Your Eye on the Sky, The Key to Prophecy, which was published in 1972. He provides a big chart of his dispensational premillennial overview of history in the book's back. On page 31, he states, "When Billy Graham will have finished his last evangelistic campaign, he will have preached the gospel to every nation." Billy Graham, Billy Franks, is a Jew. And a 33rd degree Mason. Yeah. What is a Jew doing preaching? And of course, you know, I've been over this. Someday we'll read Billy Graham's little book there, and we'll find out all about him. Billy Franks. See, he's not a white man. And if you see a picture of his daughter, you'll see how it comes back in the next generation. She's got a big hook nose. Yeah. You see, what I want to say about this is that this rapture idea is totally a doctrine of devils, but not only is it a doctrine of devils, but it was used to split people. Are you premillennial or postmillennial or you know what I mean? And so this caused more division in the church because the devil and his children, that's what they do. They weaken the church. They weaken the scriptures. They weaken our prayer life by taking the Father's name out, dividing. A little further on, page 42, one reads that he is fully aware that many scriptures contradict his secret rapture theory. This is a quote. As I have studied prophecy over the years, I was struck by the apparent contradictions. How could Jesus come as a thief in the night and yet at the same time on the clouds of great glory and every eye see him? He finds the key to this contradiction, which to him proves an invisible rapture, is that a certain week in Daniel's prophecy was postponed till the end of the church age. He sees the figure of 144,000 as literal Jewish evangelists. I hope you don't laugh. Those Jews really are evangelists of the Holocaust, of the gospel of the pig, of the gospel of equality. Oh, yes, they are. He sees the figure of 144,000 as literal Jewish evangelists, and that the Jewish kingdom of David will be restored. There is no Jewish kingdom of David. And it couldn't be restored because it's not a Jewish kingdom. But it could be restored in the other, if it was David. David is an Israelite. He's not a Jew. David killed Edomite Jews. That the man was a Mason doesn't mean his doctrines are necessarily wrong, but it is important for Christians to go back and unravel who has been teaching us some of these doctrines and where they originated. It is especially critical to our study of the one world religion because the secret pre-trib rapture theory has almost wiped out Christian opposition to the one world power. Let me read that again since I stumbled a little, because this is an important thing to hear right now. I hope you're neshab. I hope you're pricking up your ears here. It is especially critical to our study of the one world religion because the secret pre-trib rapture theory has almost wiped out Christian opposition to the one world power. Upset Christians have confronted this author. Why are you bothering about this? We are going to be raptured. God is not going to allow us to suffer. You see, this is how gullible we are as a people. We're a little too trusting. A little? You know what I mean? And I can certainly see that that's one of our attributes, and it's used heavily against us. Just as we don't hold grudges, so we wouldn't have a good memory about the wrongs done us. But the Jews have a good memory on what wrongs were done with them because they think of it all the time until they get their revenge for it. See how that works? When you're forgiving, you forgive and forget, right? But when you're full of revenge and vengeance, you remember. You keep that grudge. You see how it's worked against us now? You see what I'm saying? Are these ideas biblical? The pre-trib rapture theory has been discredited by theologians and has fallen into disrepute in recent years with Bible scholars. Even so, it comes as a shock to many to hear that the teaching is not in the Bible. This isn't to say that no one claims it comes from the Bible, as this is an historical exposé, not a doctrinal dissertation. The reader is encouraged to examine the secret rapture and why it is not biblical from other sources. The Encyclopedia of American Religions by Gordon J. Melton states that the rapture idea started with Margaret MacDonald in 1830, a woman. For 18 centuries, Christians had believed in what is called today the post-trib rapture. That is, that when Christ returned, they would be caught up with him. This is what 1 Thessalonians, it comes from Paul. This is what 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 clearly indicates. Yeah, well, anything to do with Paul, just huck it in the trash. However, several Protestant groups in Ireland, Scotland, and England with Jesuit ties began preaching a secret rapture after Margaret's visions. Margaret had visions. You see how the devil perpetuates everything and uses the devilish ideas that Paul put forth and then has people interpret them and cause further confusion and division? You see, these are the fruits of the Apostle Paul. This is what I'm trying to tell you. This is what I'm trying to explain. There's no confusion with Jesus Christ and his gospel. There's all kinds of confusion with the Apostle Paul, as you can see here. Again, another example. And how can I not point it out at the time? How can I not make mention of that? These are the fruits of the Apostle Paul. Margaret MacDonald and her visions and Jesuit Protestant groups. I mean, this is amazing. I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that the Apostle Paul's stuff, it should just be trashed. We don't need it. Did I get a little hot under the collar? Well, I'm not wearing a collar, so I really don't think I could be that hot under the collar. What a saying. So anyway, a confluence of two sources, a Scottish lady, Margaret MacDonald, with her visions, and the Irvingites helped influence Darby to adopt the rapture theory. And it all stems from good old Paul. I told you the devil gave Paul everything he needed. I told you that that's what he was doing for 3 years in Arabia. The first source was a channeler or a spirit medium. Unbelievable. And the second source, the Irvingites, received their teaching from a rabbi, Ben Ezra, just like Paul. Rabbi Paul, not Apostle Paul, Rabbi Paul, which was the pen name of a Jesuit, Emmanuel Lacunza, they pronounce it Lacuntha. Oh boy, that's a little dirty there. 1731 to 1801 of Spanish heritage. But you know what that really means, right? Margaret MacDonald lived near Glasgow, Scotland, at Port Glasgow. A brilliant Englishman, Dr. Robert Norton, was an actual witness of what Margaret had spoken during her visions, and had also received her own written accounts of everything. She was being channeled. You understand? These are the fruits of the Apostle Paul. You say, I can't blame Paul for this? Well, it came from the Thessalonians, didn't it? Ah, you thought you had me there. Sorry, Charlie. Her first vision was February 1st, 1830. Her visions that the Christians would be raptured separately before Christ would return came in the spring of 1830. 18666. And then 30. 18 times 3. Or 8 and 3 is 11. Norton cleared the air with his rare book, The Restoration of Apostles and Prophets. In the Catholic Apostolic Church in 1861, this book tells the story of how Margaret's vision started the rapture belief. The Irishman John Darby, Robert Norton, and a number of Irvingites and many others came to Margaret's house to hear her visions. They wanted to hear a channeler. You see? See what I mean about being gullible? Oh, I'm a Christian, and I'm having visions. Yes. Oh, I'm interested in that. Yes, I'm very interested in that. Woman would never lead man astray. No, I know that. I'd love to hear what the devils have channeled to you, Miss McDonald. Can I have tea and crumpets while I listen to you getting channeled here? I mean, this is like watching television before television. I mean, maybe you've even channeled that. You've become a television yourself. Get it? She's a television. She is a tele-evangelist. She's telling of what's coming in the future. Just turn on her channel. Stop laughing. Stop laughing. You know I'm not funny. So, Edward Irving, an ex-Scottish Presbyterian, wrote in a letter, "The substance of Mary Campbell's and Margaret MacDonald's visions or revelations given in their papers carried to me a spiritual conviction and a spiritual reproof which I cannot express." It did not take Irving long after Margaret's visions to first begin to preach the rapture. He also then translated the work of Lecanthe, knowing full well that it was the work of a Jesuit priest. Well, the Jesuits are Jews anyway. What's the difference? The earliest mention of the pre-trib rapture by this minister, who had been preaching during the 1820s, was in a letter written soon after July 6, 1830. July 6th. 7, 6 is 13. The Plymouth Brethren even before Darby's influence had heard in Plymouth, England in 1831 a sermon on the pre-trib rapture by Captain Percy Hall. Two lawyers, Darby and Schofield, promoted the rapture theory in the U.S. Darby made trips across the U.S. during 1860s and 1870s promoting the rapture. Well, stay away from Schofield, that's for sure. Darby himself had some tainted connections during this time period. In Dublin, Ireland, in the Brethren Assembly, seven leaders were chosen, and Edward Cronin was one of these. Edward Cronin was an ex-Catholic who preached the Masonic slogan, Liberty, Equality, and Fraternity. That ought to tell you enough about him. He was into a type of mystic Christian belief system. These brethren, well, you see how the birds of a feather flock together here? You've got two women channeling, and then you've got these people who begin to preach this doctrine of devils. and it reaches other people in other lands that continue the doctrines of devils, like Schofield, who was funded by Jews, who was convinced and paid to do certain things to the scriptures. Let's just put it nicely. So, he was into a type of mystic Christian belief system, like Masons are, right? And he's preaching liberty, equality, and fraternity, right? Brotherhood. These brethren churches were part of the Tractarian movement supported secretly by the Jesuits, just say Jews, and Catholics together, and to which Darby joined himself into in 1827. Darby also spent time with Irvingites and Tractarians in meetings at Lady Powers Court's castle in 1833. In England, the Oxford Movement, a secret Jesuit program to destroy Protestantism, published tracts promoting the rapture. Are you connecting these dots like I am? A Robert Baxter began prophesying, I think it must be prophesying, and receiving angel. Oh, listen to this. Here we are again. Now, you see how all the nutbags all come out together, you know? All of these fruit flies are of the same ilk, you know what I mean? They all just seem to congregate together some way in some form, even worldwide in a time when it wasn't as possible to be worldwide, right? Isn't that interesting? Birds of a feather flock together. Fruits of a fly, fruit fly flock together. Yeah. Unbelievable. It really is. A. Robert Baxter began prophesying. It says prophesying here. I don't know. It's got to be prophesying. And receiving angelic communications. You know what that means, right? Remember that Rutherford was receiving angelic communications? You know what that means, right? Which included the rapture. On Presbyterian Church, one Presbyterian Church caught up in this early, it says on though, one Presbyterian Church caught up in this early charismatic movement formally applied to become Roman Catholic later. Baxter declared that the messages he had received, although supernatural, had come from Satan. Oh! Since that time, an interesting host of religious leaders have promoted the secret pre-trib rapture. Herbert Armstrong, Oral Roberts, Seiss, one of the originator of pyramid prophecy ideas, Hal Lindsey, and the 33rd degree Mason, and Southern Baptist Billy Graham. Now, isn't it funny that they promoted this when this fellow said that these messages, although supernatural, had come from Satan the devil? And the Jew Billy Graham is promoting it, and Herbie Armstrong, too, and Oral Roberts, and Hal Lindsey. What are you thinking, ladies and gentlemen? What are you thinking? So there's six questions to get us thinking, and we'll end at this. We're on page 331. Yep. Number one question. Why is it that dyed-in-the-wool communist leaders like Billy Graham? Because he's a Jew. And because he promoted and liked communism. Did you know that? Number two. Why is it the Pope and the Catholic Church gave Billy Graham his doctorate? Yes, his doctorate is honorary. Because he's a Jew. And the Catholics believe that the Jews are our elder brothers. And because the Catholic Babylonian religion, which has paganism in it, is just... It comes from Babylon, like Judaism, which also has paganism in it. That's the answer to the question. Number three, Why is it that Billy Graham is on record advocating that if the Ten Commandments can't be read in the public schools, then Communist Chairman Mao Zedong's principles should be taught? Because Billy Graham is a Jew, and he is a promoter of communism, and always was, and he's a liar, and he is a promoter of doctrines of devils. Yes, I don't even need to think about it. I can answer these questions. That's half of them. Let's see if I can answer the rest. Why is it that Billy Graham is on record several times saying in speeches that the Catholic Church preaches the gospel? Because Billy Graham preaches the Apostle Paul's gospel, which is a universal gospel, and the Catholic gospel, the Catholic Church preaches a universal gospel, and everything Billy Graham preaches comes from Rabbi Apostle Paul and his gospel. That's why. Don't tell anybody, though. Number five, why is it that Billy Graham doesn't believe in hell, but believes in Armageddon, yet both ideas are in the book of Revelation? Because Billy Graham wishes hell wasn't real. And because Billy Graham is like Charles Taze Russell, who also didn't believe in that. You see, these people think if they don't believe in it, then it can't exist. It's sort of like an unfaith. In other words, if you don't believe in it, it won't be real. Wow. Dave, you sure know how to answer these questions, don't you? Number six. Why does Billy Graham support a one world government, one world church? Because Billy Graham is a Jew, first. And because Billy Graham is a 33rd degree Mason. And because Billy Graham is a liar. And he is not of the kingdom. He is a false prophet, a false teacher, a false Anglo-Saxon. Boy, Dave, you sure do know how to answer questions, don't you? Do you think that I pre-planned these answers, or did I just answer them off the top of my head? What is the answer to that question, Dave?
The answer is, I answered them off the top of my head. And I hope you'll give me a donation to keep me going in these shows so that I don't have to return to Babylon. And just one more thing. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. And until next time, study to show thyself approved.